Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The verses we heard in the epistle this morning are the very last words of the epistle, the very last words of Paul to the churches in Rome. And frankly, they don't seem to have much to do with either Advent or Christmas, which we're going to celebrate in just a few days now. But here's the thing. If you take these verses of Paul and superimpose them or overlay them onto the gospel reading we heard today, the story of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and announcing that the time had come for the Savior to be born, it almost sounds like Paul is talking about that very story. So that's what we're going to do today. Put these two readings together. And maybe that will help us understand a little better not only the story of Mary, but that her story is our story, too. So let's go through Paul's words and see what they say. He begins, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you." Do you think Mary needed strengthening? She was young, probably just a year or two, a teenager, engaged, and now face to face with an angel who says to her, "Rejoice, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And we hear she is greatly troubled at these words. She cannot figure them out. And why in the world are they spoken to her? She is just Mary, little Mary, insignificant Mary. Maybe it was a little like when you were in school and the teacher needed someone to come up to the board and solve a problem, and before you could hide or look busy doing something else, she points to you and says, "Yep, you, come on up." Your knees suddenly get weak and you get this giant knot in your stomach, and it feels like all the blood has rushed out of your head. Me? So yeah, Mary needed to be strengthened, I think. How often do you need to be strengthened? When God has brought something into your life that you don't think you're ready for? Or when fears are getting the best of you and troubles seem overwhelming? When despair seems to be your daily bread and you don't know how you're going to face another day. When you wonder why you're here and if you even matter at all to God or the world. Mary was greatly troubled, perplexed, terrified. That's us sometimes, too, isn't it? "Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ." The answer to being greatly troubled is the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ. Paul called it my gospel. It was the gospel that he preached. But it was Gabriel's gospel too. And he preached it. This word given to him by God to speak to Mary. The gospel that God had graced her. He is giving her a son. And not just any son, but his son. The Son of the Most High. Now this brings to mind a couple of thoughts. First, there are times when perhaps God's grace and favor don't really feel like grace and favor at all. I'm sure Mary could have thought about 1,000 other things she would rather have from God at that moment than a son. This wouldn't be easy and would certainly cause problems, not the least of which was with her future husband, Joseph. Maybe for you too. Everything from God is good and for good, all grace and favor for you, his child. But it always doesn't seem that way, does it? The thing seems bad, or the timing seems bad. Really, God? Really? This? Now? And then second, there's her question, how will this be? Mary was a virgin, and everyone knows, well, you know. Maybe so for you too. Whatever it is for you, how can this be good? How, God, can this work out? How will this be, God, for me? But the preaching of Jesus Christ tells us that you have found favor with God. And he has graced you as well. Graced you with his adoption as his child in holy baptism. Graced you with his Spirit in those same waters. Graced you with faith and his words. To you, these miracles have been given, and if these, then more too. For nothing is impossible with God, not even virgin births. You're impossible, more impossible than that? What he has promised, he will do for you. Which is, in fact, what Paul says next. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations. Or in other words, God isn't making this up on the fly. He knows what he's doing and what he has promised he will do. So Gabriel tells Mary that these prophecies and promises of old are now happening. This son being given to you, Mary, your son, Jesus is the promised son of David. David's son according to the flesh, and David's Lord according to his divinity. And his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and life in it forever too. Eternal. A kingdom greater than this world and whatever it can throw at you. And how often do we need to be reminded of that too? When the things of this world and maybe of your life seem to be going from bad to worse. Well, this isn't the first time things look that way. Paul says, think back to all the scriptures, the prophetic writings, he calls them, and what they tell us from of old. And how through it all, God was faithful, he kept his word, and accomplished his promises. It took a long time, humanly speaking, from the promise in the garden to its fulfillment in Mary, but he did it. It happened. And all God's promises will be fulfilled for you as well. For the king on the throne is your Savior, who came for you, who died and rose for you, and now reigns for you over all things. He will do it. Paul then adds a third according to. Right, the first one, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And the second was, according to the mystery that is revealed through the promises and prophecies. And then third, God is able to strengthen you according to the command of the eternal God. The command of the eternal God, whose word does what it says. According to the command of God, Gabriel came and spoke to Mary. According to the gospel, God commanded him to speak, through which Mary would conceive. Just as in the beginning, God commanded that there be light, and there was light. Jesus commanded Lazarus to come out of the grave, and he came out. Jesus speaks to bread and wine, and it becomes his body and blood. And on the last day, Jesus is going to speak to you and call you out of your grave, and you're going to do it. The command of the eternal God is not like our commands, sometimes followed, sometimes not. God's word does what it says. For Mary and for you. And why? To bring about the obedience of faith, Paul says. And that's what happened. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." How could Mary do it? How could she agree? How could she go through with it all? Only by the strengthening of the gospel and the power of God's word, working in her and providing what she needed. These words that Mary spoke are not so much a testimony to her. They are to the powerful and wonderful working of God in her. And again, for you as well, that you're here, that you believe, that you confess your sins, that you speak the creed, that you humbly receive the body and blood of Jesus, are all testimony. Not to you, but to the powerful and wonderful working of God and His Spirit in you. The Spirit that conceived faith in you and has worked in you the obedience of faith. That sometimes we disobey is testimony to the sin still living in us, that we live not as the servant of the Lord, but at my own service, and want it to be according to my word. But even at such times, or especially at such times, we see the grace and favor of the Lord, who does not cast us off and reject us, but calls us back to Him and to His forgiveness. And especially into such a world was our Savior born, a world of sin, a world of rebellion, a world of me. But as Paul said earlier in this same epistle, God showed His love for us in that while we were still sinners, still in our rebellion, still self-centered, Christ came, Christ lived, and Christ died for us. Or in other words, not because you're good, but because you're not. And that's what Christmas is all about. You see, I think that's why it's a mistake to think Mary was holier or purer than anyone else, and that's why she got to be the mother of God. No. Jesus came from sinners, to sinners, for sinners, like Mary, to bear our sins, that in Him we might be the righteousness of God. That we be forgiven. That just as Jesus, the Son of God, came and lived as a Son of Man, so we sons and daughters of men might live as children of God. Both now and forever. And so Paul then concludes, "To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. For this is the wisdom of God, our Savior, our salvation, this way and at this time." And then Gabriel departed from her. His job done, his message delivered. But the separation was only temporary, for they, Gabriel and Mary, are going to meet again, as we will, when we together bow before this child born of Mary and worship him in glory. And yet even before that, we gather together with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven around this altar to receive the body and blood of Mary's son, God's son, David's son, our Savior. And we gather here around what we cannot see, but by faith, until we then see with our eyes. Just as what Mary saw with her eyes was just an ordinary baby, but by faith she knew was so much more. So Gabriel departed from her, but now with us is Emmanuel, God himself with us, conceived and growing in Mary. And as he promised, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So he has come never to depart, to be with you through thick and thin, until the end of the ages when we will be with him forever. So that's the gospel of Paul, the gospel of Gabriel, the gospel of Christmas, that is able to strengthen you wherever you are, however you are, and that makes every Christmas a merry Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.